each stage of life a chance to grow. With faith and love, the blessings flow. Seasons of life, seasons of life.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila Seasons of Life. And mashallah, we do have a very beautiful topic of discussion, and we are going to be discussing the blessings of wasila, the importance of wasila, the concept of wasila. And subhanallah, we are going to be diving deep into this topic of discussion. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that individual who has recited the most amount of salawat upon me in this world. So let us all collectively, full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we thank our most merciful creator, our most forgiving creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the countless blessings that he has bestowed upon you and I. And upon that, we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ala kulli hal. MashaAllah, Sunnah inspired Ijtima' Dawud Islam. Beautiful day of Thursday. And in some areas after Maghrib, in some areas after Salatul Isha, the grand Sunnah inspired Ijtima' of Dawud Islam will be taking place in various Marakiz, various Masajid. SubhanAllah. So, do make your intention, you know, do make your mind to attend these gatherings, because these aren't ordinary gatherings. These aren't gatherings for just, you know, due to formality being there, but rather these are a gathering that is filled with rahmah, that is filled with divine mercy, that is filled with thawab, it is filled with the barakah and blessings. In these gatherings, angels, they be now accompanying these gatherings. Why? Because in these gatherings, a person indulges himself in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the dhikr of his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person gains knowledge of deen. A person, you know, learns Islamic knowledge. Dua is made, subhanallah, and so much more. And you know, it's so, so amazing that we see, if we take out Thursday, then the rest of the days of the week, we are, obviously, we have duties, we have responsibilities, and we have to attend to them. Not to say that we can't leave them, of course. These are also priorities, responsibilities. And we are indulged in worldly activities, you know, our work, our job, our family, etc., etc. And sometimes it becomes so overwhelming. Sometimes the pressure becomes so high. And you need that one day in the week to unwind, you know, to boost our spirituality. And that, subhanAllah, is the Thursday night, the night of Jumu'ah, you know, in which we engross ourselves in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the remembrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the remembrance of the Ashab alayhim ridwan, and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan, and our pious predecessors, the Awliya Allah. So, it is definitely a gathering where du'as are accepted as well, because so many people come. And from amongst them, you don't know who is a wali of Allah. You don't know who is the person that's seated there. It could be right next to you, but you wouldn't know that he is more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you are. And when dua is made, he says, Ameen, subhanallah, that is in the favor of everyone in that congregation. So imagine you going through some difficulty in life. You want your awful wishes and desires to be fulfilled. You're going through some hardships, you're facing some obstacles, some hurdles in the way, you want it to be removed, and you want your du'as to be accepted, subhanAllah. We need to use the wasila of the pious people of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this gathering, we don't know who is this close person of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the beloved of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wali of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know. So whatever need we have, whatever difficulty we're going through, when we attend these gatherings become a wasila for you and I. That pious person becomes a wasila for you and I for our du'as to be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, because of that gathering, divine mercy is being descended. The angels are in such gatherings. And number two is that there is a pious person in this gathering. Because of his Ameen, everyone's du'as is accepted because of him. Subhanallah. So we see there are so much of blessings in attending the ijtima'at, the dhikr-un-na'at, ijtima'at of Dawat-e-Islami, subhanallah, where even bayanat are given, nasiha is given, advice is given, forward rectification, so that we can know right from wrong. We can know how to correct ourselves, we can know how to correct others as well, and we can only correct others when we ourselves are corrected. So there's a lot of blessings in individuals more than each other. Make your mind, you know, tell your children, tell your brothers, tell your family members. Let us all go and spend 1 hour only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us sacrifice only 1 hour to go to boost our spirituality, because if spirituality is not boosted, then a person at times can be engrossed in so much of worldly activities that the heart slowly dies and the person does not realize it. So it's important that we always try to, like how we as human beings, we try to keep ourselves alive. If you're hungry, you're not going to stay hungry. If you're thirsty, you're not going to stay thirsty. You're going to try and find something, some means possible, that you know what, I need to put one, at least one morsel in my mouth so that I can survive. It's survival instinct. Same would go if you're thirsty. Even one drop on the leaf, you would take that because it will quench your throat. It will quench your thirst. Even that one drop, survival instincts. Like that, we go to, you know, so much of measures to keep our physical self alive. We need to ask ourselves the question, when else have we gone to such measures, to such an extent, to keep our spiritual self alive, to keep our heart alive? Have we attended these gatherings at least, only once a week, and that for 1 hour? By doing that, we would be feeding and nourishing our heart, nourishing our ruh, purifying our heart and fragranting our ruh, because we are engrossed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the remembrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So come with good intentions, that you're not coming there for any personal gain, any personal benefit, or any hidden agenda, or anything of that sort. You're not coming to show that you know what, or to show the other person that you know what, I have come. No. Come with a good heart, with a pure heart, with a pure intention, that I have come solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you would see, trust me, it's all about tawakkul. It's all about having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you come in these gatherings with your heart attached to and connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you pour down whatever you have, whatever difficulties you have, you mention all of it. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware, He is all knowing, but you're still mentioning it. You'd be surprised that because of your tawakkul and because of your pleading, because of your ikhlas, because of your sincerity, you attended this gathering and you find that your dua has been accepted. There have been so many cases like this, wherein people have come, they have joined the ijtima'at of Dawat-e-Islami, and subhanAllah, they say that they have found their need to be fulfilled, they have found their lawful desires and wishes to be fulfilled, they have found their difficulty removed. They have found obstacles and hurdles that were in the way, all of that has been removed. Why? Because of the sincerity. And of course, attending these beautiful mahafil as well. So yes, divisive of Madan and Channel, there was this something on the side to be said as a source of motivation, as a source of encouragement. I thought, let me share it with you as well, so that we can all together work together as fellow Muslims and strengthen the deen of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us upon the guidance of Islam, protect our iman, and grant us death with iman. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Alhamdulillah, coming to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing the blessings of wasila, And yes, I have also touched on just tidbits here and there on the concept of wasila. Right? I want to narrate to you an incident for you and I to understand how important it is, how important wasila is. In the past, there were three men, they set out on a journey. During their journey, they entered a cave to spend the night. Suddenly, a large rock, like a boulder, it slid down from the mountain and blocked the entrance of the cave, trapping them inside. Now they decided that each of them should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by mentioning a good deed they had performed sincerely with ikhlas, using it as a wasila, as a means to, you know, get out from this problem. One from amongst them stood up, made dua, saying, "Oh Allah, you know that my parents were very old. I never used to give milk to my children or other family members before serving it to my parents. And one day, while grazing my animals, I went far away and returned late at night. My parents, they had already fallen asleep, and I brought their share of milk and stood by their bedside until after a long time they woke up. Then I gave them the milk, after which I gave it to my children and drank some myself. Oh Allah, if I did this solely for your pleasure, then through its blessing, move this rock from the mouth of the cave and save us from this difficulty." Now, the rock, it moved, but it didn't move enough. It moved slightly. The opening was still not, you know, wide enough for them to come out. The second person, he made dua. He said, "Oh Allah, I loved my paternal cousin more than anyone else, and I desired to commit a sin with her, but she refused. One year there was a famine, and she came to me for help. I offered her 120 dinars on the condition that she would allow me to fulfill my desire. Due to her extreme need, she agreed. When I was about to commit the sin, she said to me that, 'Oh brother, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not break the seal except lawfully.' That upon hearing, you know, what she had to say, I refrained. I held myself back from that sin and I gave her the gold coins. And so he says, 'Oh Allah, if I did this only to please you, then remove this trouble from us.' And subhanAllah, the rock moved a little bit more, but still not enough for them to get out. The third person, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, 'Oh Allah, you know, then once I hired some workers and paid them all their wages, except for one man who left without taking his pay. I invested his salary, his wages into a business until it grew into a large amount of wealth. After some time, that worker came back to me and asked for his pay. I said to him that all these goats and cows and camels and slaves that you see are your salary. He was shocked. He was surprised. He said that, 'Are you joking with me?' The person says, 'No, I'm not joking with you.' Tells him, 'The truth is that you left without taking your wages. So I invested them in a business. And such blessings came from it that all these animals, all these slaves accumulated. And all of this is the result of your salary.' So the worker was very happy. He took everything with him, leaving nothing behind. 'So Allah, if I did this good deed only to please you, then grant us relief from this trouble.' And as a result, that rock, that boulder, it moved away from the mouth of the cave completely. And all three travelers came out safely and they continued their journey." Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now in this parable, these of my nation, in this incident, they are a lot of lessons for you and I to take. For example, when any difficulty arises, whenever any hardship arises, along with adopting worldly means, then we should also turn towards salah, also turn towards dua. And sadly, we are negligent in this matter. You know, when we face a problem, we make many efforts to resolve it and plead with people, but we do not turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone catches a cold, someone catches a cough or faces any worry, they immediately start using medicine and taking measures. However, they do not make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like this, that, "Oh Allah, I have a cold, cure me. Oh Allah, I have a cough, bless me with health. Oh Allah, My heart is not inclined towards my work. Grant me focus. Oh Allah, I feel lazy today. Grant me energy. Oh Allah, my blood pressure is high. Make it normal. I just think, if we pray, if we make dua while using medicine, what's the harm? When we only turn to prayer, to dua, when the doctor says, now the patient needs prayers, now the patient needs dua. In other words, only when the doctor directs us to dua, do we realize its importance. Before that, we remain heedless of dua. You know, so no matter how dangerous, and this is something we must remember, no matter how dangerous an illness may be, we must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has commanded us to make dua to Him. As it is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Udu'uni astajib lakum. Call upon me, I shall answer your dua. Now, no disease is incurable, as mentioned in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent down any disease without also sending down its cure. And it's true that doctors may not have discovered the cure for some diseases yet, but the cure exists. Remember, no one can fulfill your needs, our needs, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever a small or a great difficulty arises, even if it seems impossible to resolve, you must make dua. Sometimes such calamities from which, you know, escape seems impossible are removed. How? Through the blessings of dua. We have heard in this case that when the three men were trapped in the cave, it was almost impossible for them to get out. What did they do? They used their good deeds as a wasila, and they made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the most difficult problem was solved. So we learn the use of Madani Chunan, that one can also use the wasila of good deeds whilst making dua. So any good deed done with ikhlas, done with sincerity, can be used. For example, if someone helped a blind person cross the road only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can use that deed, that good deed, as a wasila whilst they making dua. So subhanAllah, we see, when we make dua, and we need to present a wasila. SubhanAllah, the greatest wasila we can present in the God of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you make dua, using the wasila, taking the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you would find your du'as would be accepted, inshaAllah. Now, the more difficult a deed is, the heavier it will be on the scale of deeds, and it will have greater reward. Right? For example, suppose a person has free time and there is not much traffic on the road. As he is crossing the road, he suddenly sees a blind person. He holds the blind person's hand, helps him cross the road. He's gonna be rewarded for this good deed. However, this deed was not very difficult because he had time. There was little traffic and he needed to cross the road himself. Now, in contrast, on the other hand, imagine a shopkeeper dealing with a rush of customers in his shop. If he stops paying attention even for a moment, the customers might leave for another store. And suddenly, he notices a blind person standing by the road, waiting to cross. Cars are passing by quickly. No one is helping him. The shopkeeper does not worry about his customers or his business. He leaves his shop. He goes to the blind person, greets him with salam, holds his hand, waits for the traffic to slow down, helps him cross the road. When he returns to his shop, the customers have already left, causing him a financial loss. Now, in this case, the second person will obviously receive more reward than the first. Why? This is because the second person, he faced more difficulty and also made a financial sacrifice. In both cases, the actions look the same, but there is a clear difference in the effort and difficulty. Similarly, when performing wudu is difficult, doing so at that time has been greater reward. For example, in a place where it's so cold, it's extremely cold, and there is no facility to heat the water in the masjid, the person who performs wudu with cold water patiently, without complaining about the masjid administration, that person will receive more reward than a person who performs wudu with warm water. And this is because performing wudu with cold water in severe cold is a more difficult deed. Similarly, the one who finds it difficult to read the Holy Quran will receive more reward than the one who finds it easy to recite. So, subhanAllah, look at how beautiful Islam is, deep with Mandi Nishanam. That the more difficult the deed, the greater the reward. So next time you find a deed that is difficult for you, you see it difficult and it stops you from doing it, then this is a motivation. Go and do the deed because there is greater reward in it. It looks the same, but the effort is different. It was easy for that person, but it was difficult for you. Your reward will become more than the reward of that person. Similarly, as we have heard, one who recites the Quran fluently, correctly, and compared to the other person who recites the Quran but finds it difficult to read the Holy Quran, he will be getting more reward than the person who reads the Quran with finding ease in it. So yes, the of condemnation of dua is something that you and I must make on a daily basis. As we take from this incident, that the first thing they resorted to when faced with this difficulty wants to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, we are in this difficulty. Ya Allah, we are in this problem. And then they presented a wasila. They presented the good deed as a wasila. Due to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them. So likewise, you and I, we need to do the same as well. Always make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, with ikhlas, with a sound heart, and knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill your lawful du'as. Sometimes it may happen that you'll be making du'a and you're not seeing its effects, you're not seeing it coming to you. We don't need to be despondent because your du'a is accepted. Du'as are guaranteed acceptance, as the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But its effect is shown in different ways. For example, sometimes it may be its effect may be shown to you. Sometimes because of you making du'a, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected you from a calamity because of you making dua. And if you don't see its effects over here, then on the day of Qiyamah you will see the reward of it. Such that the narration says that when a person sees the reward that is there, he would wish that none of his du'as got accepted in this world because of the amount of rewards that he is seeing on the day of Qiyamah. When we make dua, we should be rest assured that our dua, alhamdulillah, has been accepted. Whether we see its effects or not, we shouldn't be worried about that. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala knows what is best for you and I. As the Quran teaches us, you may like something, it's not good for you. You may dislike something when it is good for you. Quran teaches us this. Sometimes we be making dua for something and it's not good for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is He who knows what is best for you and I. So we gather from this incident that to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, to use our good deeds that we have done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a wasila, as a medium. Now, the other lesson that we gain, that this incident teaches us that pleasing one's parents is a beloved deed in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, among the three people trapped in the cave, one was so devoted to his parents that he would not give milk to his children until he had first given it to his elderly parents. Then one night, his parents fell asleep. He stood by their bedside holding the milk and did not give it to his children either. When his parents woke up, he offered them the milk first before giving it to his family. On the other hand, in today's modern age, how much importance is given to parents, especially after marriage, and with the presence of one's own children, how much importance remains for parents? Everyone is aware of this. And remember, even if parents become a cause of difficulty, their rights do not come to an end. So children must remain patient in every circumstances, you know, like a companion. Once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were stones on a path so hot that if a piece of hot meat was placed on them, It would have cooked. And I carried my mother on my shoulders across them for 6 miles. Have I fulfilled her rights? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, perhaps this makes up for one contraction that she endured, one fraction of the contraction she endured during your birth. Allahu Akbar. And this narration now shows that children can never completely fulfill the rights of their parents, no matter how much they serve them. It's important, very important, to be mindful of their rights. And sadly, nowadays, parents, you know, they are treated very poorly in society. You know, and some people do not even assist at all, don't even assist them at all. Sometimes children complain that their parents interfere in matters where they should not. And regarding this, you know, we should understand that since they are your parents, showing them respect in every situation is compulsory. Now, our parents, they have tolerated many of our mistakes. For example, we troubled them in childhood, but they still fed us. When we came home late at night, they would sacrifice their sleep waiting for us. Yes, we had a fever, they would care for us the entire night. So whatever mistake parents may make after our marriage does not justify us in neglecting their importance. Remember that we should not be cruel to our parents for the sake of our children. And do not oppress your children for the sake of your parents. It's essential to uphold the rights of both. What a beautiful balance Islam has given you in ideas of marriage. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now, instead of hurting your parents, respect them. Be kind to them. Look at them with love and muhabbah and affection. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that when a child looks at their parents with mercy, Allah ta'ala records for them the reward of a hajj mabrur, an accepted hajj for every look that the companions alayhim ridwan, they asked. And look at how motivated they were. They asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if they look 100 times in a day. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Naam, Allahu Akbar wa atyab. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest and the most pure. Subhanallah, subhanallah. I mean, how lucky, you know, are those whose parents are still alive. You know, and such people, you know, whose parents are still alive, they should serve their parents, speak to them with kindness. Avoid looking directly at their eyes, you know, whilst talking. Stand up in respect when you see them coming. Don't get annoyed with them. If they are talking, don't interrupt them. You know, refrain from scolding or shouting at them. You know, and remember that even if parents do not perform salah, they must still be respected, because neglecting salah is their action. However, one must hate their sins. Right? So since parents are much older than their children, if children try to explain things to them directly, they might not understand. So children should always maintain respect for them. And to help, you know, improve their character, we should read the lives of our pious predecessors. You know, subhanAllah, we will see a big improvement in the lives of our children. And in this incident, even of Madani children, you know, it was mentioned that the three individuals who entered the cave used their good deeds as a wasila. Through the blessings of these deeds, the mouth of the cave opened and they were saved. This does not mean that only pious deeds can be used as a wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, remember that along with the good deeds, pious people can also be presented as wasila. No, how can it be that we use our own small deeds as a wasila, but not pious people? In fact, the wasila of pious people is much stronger than the wasila of our deeds. Where are our deeds, and where are the servants, the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? And what can be said about the high maqam, the exalted status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam surpasses that of all creation. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, the views of Madani Channel, this is something that we should implement, is to always make dua, present a wasila to respect our parents, as all of these are the beautiful lessons we gain from this incident. So for now, we do have a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm sure It will increase our love for the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it will most definitely rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies and soul in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go forward and listen to this beautiful kalam, and thereafter we will be back to discuss much further inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulallah, ya Habiballah, ne'mat-e baatta jis samt wo zeeshaan gaya, saath hi munshi-e rahmat ka kalam da. کی طرف دھیان گیا لے خبر جلد کے غیروں کی طرف دھیان گیا میرے مولا میرے آقا تیرے قربان گیا میرے مولا میرے آقا تیرے قربان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا آہ وہ آنکھ کے ناکام تمنا ہی رہی کے ناکام تمنا ہی رہی ہائے وہ دل جو تیرے در سے پر ارمان گیا ہائے وہ دل جو تیرے در سے پر ارمان گیا
نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا
دل ہے وہ دل جو تیری یاد سے معمور رہا دل ہے وہ دل جو تیری یاد سے معمور رہا سر ہے وہ سر جو تیرے قدموں پہ قربان گیا سر ہے وہ سر جو تیرے قدموں پہ قربان گیا
نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا
انہیں جانا انہیں مانا نہ رکھا غیر رکھا غیر سے کام، للہ الحمد میں دنیا سے مسلمان گیا، للہ الحمد میں دنیا سے مسلمان گیا، نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا، ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا، آج لے ان کی پناہ، آج مدد مانگ ان سے، آج لے ان کی پناہ، آج مدد مانگ ان سے، پھر نہ مانیں گے قیامت میں اگر مان گیا، پھر نہ مانیں گے قیامت میں اگر مان گیا، جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا، ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا، جان و دل ہوش و خرد سب تو مدینے پہنچے، جان و دل ہوش و خرد سب تو مدینے پہنچے، تم نہیں چلتے رضا سا تو سامان گیا، تم نہیں چلتے رضا سارا تو سامان گیا، نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا، ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا، یا رسول اللہ، یا حبیب اللہ،
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ، ویری بیوٹیفل کلام ان دی پریزز آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. مے اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی انکریز دی لو آف نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم انا وعاص، آمین یا رب العالمین. کمنگ بیک ٹو اور ٹاپک آف ڈسکشن ان وچ وی آر ڈسکسنگ دی بلیسنگز آف وسیلہ، and we have just been discussing how we can present our good deeds that we have done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a wasila. And together with that, we have also mentioned just before going to listen to this melodious kalam how we can take the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our wasila as well. Now Sayyidina Umayyah bin Khalid radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek victory through the wasila of the poor Muhajireen. Allahu Akbar. You know, if a dua is made using objects connected to pious people as a wasila, Allah Ta'ala accepts it. And it's mentioned in Akhbar al-Akhyar that during a severe famine, Despite many du'as from the people, no rain fell. Sayyidina Nizamuddin Abu al-Mu'ayyad rahimahullah took a thread from the garment of his mother in his hand and said, "O Allah, this is a thread from the garment of a woman upon whom no non-mahram eye has ever fallen. O my Rabb, for the sake of this, let your rain of mercy descend." Before he had even finished the dua, the clouds appeared and it began to rain heavily. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now this shows you of Madinah Shun that in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can use not only good deeds, but also pious people and objects connected with them as a wasila. It also teaches us that anything connected with the pious servants of Allah becomes blessed. And sometimes its effects manifest in the world. Subhanallah, we see the second person trapped in the cave used his avoidance of sin as a wasila when making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That sin was such that he had the sin, the nature of the sin was such that he had the power to commit it. Yet he stopped only out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very, very difficult for the nafs. Now understanding like this, that a person, suppose a person seeing something haram and it reaches a point where he is interested and wants to continue watching. Suddenly, the fear of Allah enters his heart. He remembers a narration he heard in a sunnah inspired ijtima' of Dawud Islam. Whoever fills their eyes with what is unlawful, their eyes will be filled with fire on the day of Qiyamah. Consequently, out of the fear of Allah, he repents immediately and he stops watching the haram. This act is a pious deed and he can use it as a wasila while making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, this can also be, we can also understand it through this way. Another example where a person finds a gold locket on the road and he picks it up. At first his intention is bad, thinking he found free wealth, so he should sell it and use the money for himself. But suddenly he realizes that this locket is forbidden, haram for him, and he must return it to its owner. So out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he returns the gold locket to its owner. This act earns him thawab, earns him reward. And he can use this as a wasila when making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the views of Madinah, sometimes the regret for a sin produces a benefit that a good deed cannot achieve. In the sense that a person may receive more reward through remorse for a sin than they would by performing a good deed. Well, I'll give you a parable in relation to this. Sayyidina Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahimahullah, he narrates that during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar Al-Faruq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they lived a pious young man who spent most of his time in the masjid. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu liked him because of his piety. And the young man had an elderly father. And he would go home after the Isha Salah to serve him. Between the masjid and his home lived a woman who became infatuated with him. She would call him to her every day, but he paid no attention to her. Eventually, one day, Shaitan gained influence over him and inclined him towards sin. When he approached the woman's house, intending to commit the sin, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overwhelmed him. And this verse of the Holy Quran came on his tongue, which is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal ladhina taqaw idha massahum ta'ifun minash shaytani tadhakkaru fa idha hum mubsirun. Indeed, when the pious are affected by a thought from shaytan, they recollect divine command, thereupon they see clearly. That young man, he fainted and collapsed. The woman, she called her maid, and the two of them dragged him and left him at his father's door. Meanwhile, the father was worried about why his son had not returned. When he went out to search for him, he found his son unconscious. With the help of, you know, some people, carried his son inside. And when that young man regained consciousness, the father asked that, "Oh son, what happened?" The young man, he mentioned the entire story. The father asked, "Which verse came to your mind?" And when he recited the verse again to his father, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overcame him again. And he fell to the ground. Due to intense fear and remorse, his soul departed, passed away. He was given ghusl and laid to rest the same night. In the morning, when Sayyidina Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was informed, he went to the father to offer condolences and said that, why did you not inform me during the night? He said that, I did not think it. The father is saying, I didn't find it appropriate to trouble you at night. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, take me to his grave. So he went to the grave with some people and recited this verse from Surah Rahman, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. And there are two paradises for the one who fears standing before his Rabb. Then the young man spoke from inside the grave that, O Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, indeed, my Rabb has granted me these two paradises. Subhanallah, subhanallah. I mean, look how the young man received the reward of two paradises for avoiding a sin. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, this is what we need to do as well, Yusuf of Madinah, you know. Avoid sin out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have heard in the beginning, piety of the third person trapped in the cave was mentioned. He set aside a worker's pay and invested it in a business. Then, when the worker asked for his wages, he gave him not only the wages, but also all the profit earned from it, even though it was not compulsory for him to do so. The profit earned from the worker's wages was not small. If it were calculated according to today's standards, it might amount to millions of pounds. Yet he gave all the wealth to the worker, leaving him astonished. In today's world, it's very difficult to find such an example of honesty. Nowadays, if a worker leaves without taking his pay, our nafs would suggest he left the money of his own will. How can you be at fault here? At most, you might give him the wages he is entitled to if he ever asks. But look at the generosity and selflessness of the person trapped in the cave. First, he invested the worker's money and increased it, and then handed over all the wealth to him. Unfortunately, the matter of wealth is very difficult. These days, wealthy people often delay and make excuses when it comes to paying zakat. Sometimes, those entitled to zakat have to plead and repeatedly request. And when they are finally given something, it's so little that it's not enough to meet their needs. In any case, the act of the third person, who gave the worker not only his wages, but also all the profit, was so remarkable that when he used it as a wasila and made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rock moved away from the mouth of the cave completely. And all three travelers came out of the cave easily. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And for now, dears of Madinah Channel, we do have a beautiful piece of nasiha, beautiful piece of advice. Let's go forward and listen to this, and thereafter we will be back to conclude with our topic of discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Your family is like a garden. If you water it daily with kindness, patience, and time, it grows. But if you neglect it, it withers, even if it is full of flowers, if your house is full of wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has stated, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. The best of you are those who are best to the family. What's the use of being polite to strangers but rude at home? What's the benefit of smiling in public but being silent at the dinner table? Make it a habit to greet each other with warmth, to pray together, to share meals. Say, I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. When you say such things to your children, to those who you love, this will increase the warmth of your house. A strong family doesn't happen by accident. It grows when you invest in it, just like a garden. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Family is like a garden, leaves of Madani Channel. MashaAllah, what a beautiful piece of advice, what beautiful nasiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to act upon this and to spread it to others. So as we conclude the Yusuf Madani Channel, whenever any difficulty arises, no matter its severity or whether it seems impossible to resolve, we must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for its solution by using our good deeds that we have done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a wasila, by taking the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a wasila, by taking the objects and things that are connected to them as a wasila. And then you will see how your du'as will be answered, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to act upon what we have learned and heard today, inshallah. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Until then, keep watching Madani channel and keep sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Each stage of life, a chance to grow with faith and love, the blessings flow. Seasons of life, seasons of life.